as she comes to bring the word. Come on.
Good morning, church. Thank you very much. You can be seated. I didn't fall down the stairs, so that's good. It's gonna be good this morning. Amen. I'm really, really honored and privileged to be here preaching. So I just want to thank Pastor Louise and Pastor Emmanuel, I know he's not here, for the opportunity. I don't take it lightly, and I'm just really excited for what God is going to share through me this morning. Thank you, worship team. You guys could chill, or up to you. So today I'm going to be talking about growing in faith. And I just want to pray before I open up and before I start. So if we could all just bow our heads. Thank you, Lord God, so much for this privilege to be here, Lord, in your house, to glorify you, Lord God, to give you praise. And thank you so much, Lord, that today you are going to impart wisdom into us, Lord. I just pray, Lord God, that Holy Spirit, may you be the one speaking through me. And I pray that our hearts today may be good soil, Lord God, and that this word will fall into our lives with perfect timing, Lord God, and that you will have your way this morning. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. So today I was sort of thinking about when Pastor E asked me to preach, been thinking about a few things, and the Holy Spirit sort of gave me this concept of a thing called faith seeds. So faith seeds, I believe, are sort of, if you look down at the timeline of your life, they're these little points or these little seeds that are scattered throughout your life. And they represent moments of trials and moments of times when you need faith. So the only way that a faith seed can grow is if you have faith. So if you don't have faith, they don't flourish. And if you imagine sort of walking through a field and you see all of these trees, if you imagine those trees sort of forming from a faith seed, it's sort of a way of looking back and saying, oh yes, I remember God when you came through. I remember when I had faith in God when you did this. It's interesting because the Lord told me that I should be talking about growing in faith this morning. But last week when Andrew was preaching and I was sort of sitting in the congregation and she was going for it, she was confident, she was doing so well, and I'm just sitting there going, yeah, no. I think you got me confused, Lord, with someone else that maybe looks like me. I mean, you know, it's understandable. That's okay. And so, you know, here I am, and the word was great. But halfway through, I'm like wrestling with God going, I can't do this. I cannot do what am I even doing here? I can't do this now. I've got to go tell Pastor E, no, it's not going to happen. This is not. And I remember the Holy Spirit has these, the way that he talks to me sometimes is he has these drop the mic moments, I like to call them, where, you know, I'm arguing with him and then he'll say something and he drops the mic and then he walks off. So in that moment, he was like, yep, this is your faith seed. And then he just dropped the mic and walked off. And I'm like, yep. And you can't argue with God, right? So you just have to sit there. You just got to be all, you know, like you didn't just get told off. So that's sort of what happened with me. How many of us have had those times in our life when we have wanted to grow, when we've wanted God to grow our faith, but then when we're in that situation, we just back up, like we back up? It's sort of like, you know, when we have those moments in church when, you know, everything is so great and the Spirit of God is here and you're sort of praying and you're saying, God, I just want your will in my life, Lord. I'm an empty vessel for you, Lord Jesus. If you want me to walk one, my Lord, I'll just walk 10. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I will do for you, Lord God. I'm going to be the lighthouse. And so God's like, you know, he acknowledges those prayers, obviously. So he says, okay, all right, cool. So then during the week, you know, you're standing at the petrol station and you hear God saying, I want you to pay for petrol for the person behind you. Or, you know, someone that might annoy you a little bit at work, you know, they're going through some stuff and God says, I want you to give them money so they can pay for their mortgage because they're running a bit low this month. And then you sort of sit there and you're like, Yeah. So, like, the way that my bank account's set up right now, Lord God, like, it's actually, like, the Osco payments, it wouldn't actually go through, like, how I wanted it to go through. So, I probably can't even, like, pay this week. So, I'm just thinking maybe, like, if you wanted me to do it, like, maybe another week, then I probably can. But, like, not really, like, right now. Like, I just don't think that right now I can. Like, how many of us have had those? Like, we can be honest. We can be honest. All of us have had those moments, right? All of us. And then we want to, like, justify what our financial situation is to God. He already knows, right? So, That's what I want to talk about today. And it happens to all of us. It's happening to me right now as I stand here. I'm constantly questioning and constantly saying to God, I need you. I'm having faith that you're going to come through. I just need you. So the question that I want to ask today and I want you to go away with is, how much are you willing to step out in faith in order to grow? How much are you willing to step out in faith in order to grow? The Bible in Hebrews 11:1, and we can have that if possible on the screen, or you can turn to it in your Bibles. So Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen." That could also mean the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It can also mean the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen, the assurance about things we can't see. The dictionary, when you look up faith, actually says that faith is complete trust or reliance or confidence in someone. So that's what we're dealing with today. Complete reliance on God. The Bible, I believe God strategically wrote the Bible in the way of making sure that he puts people in there that we can relate to. And throughout the Bible, there are so many people that have had incredible, incredible faith. And it sort of encourages us that it's possible to have that faith. It's possible to have the faith that all of these people did. In Hebrews 11, it talks about a number of people and all of the faith that they had. And I encourage you to read that during the week so that it sort of stirs up something in you that if Abraham had faith, if Sarah had faith, if all these people had faith, I can have faith. One person in the Bible that I really like and the story that I really like is the story of Joseph. Now, it's not because my husband's name is Joseph, I promise. But I just think that his story, there's just so many faith seeds that we can see and that we can learn from. So if you haven't read the story of Joseph, I encourage you to do that. It's a really, really great story. It's found in Genesis 37-50. So I'm not going to talk too much about that, but I'll sort of just summarize a little bit. So he was a teenager and he had dreams, really, really big dreams. And he had faith that God would make these big dreams come true. He was the favorite. So if you know that you're sort of the favorite of the sibling and you have dreams that you're going to like be better than your siblings, you probably don't want to tell your siblings that because, you know, they're probably not going to like you. And his siblings already didn't like him. They were very jealous of him. So they became so angry with jealousy that they ended up throwing him into a pit. So they betrayed him. That's like a massive betrayal. I know that if my brother ever threw me into a pit, I would be pretty betrayed. He ended up being sold to merchants. So that's like, you know, salespeople. And they took him into Egypt where he was sold again as a slave. So he gets betrayed. He gets sold twice. And now he's working in a house for a man called Potiphar. Now Potiphar is sort of a worker for Pharaoh. Throughout this time, though, God's favor was with him. When he was in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's house flourished, and he ended up becoming responsible for the house. So despite what's happened to him, we can sort of see that, you know, so far things are going pretty great for Joseph. You know, considering he was a slave, considering everything that's happened, it's going pretty great until they weren't going great. See, the Bible says that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Again, not my husband. This is Joseph in the Bible. And Potiphar's wife actually tried to seduce him. She thought that he was pretty great. In the Bible, it says that she didn't try and do it once. She actually tried to do it multiple times. So here he is being responsible for this whole house. And if you're responsible for a house, people don't need to be there with you, right? So people were off. Potiphar was off. He was working. He was at times in this house by himself and having to face this constant temptation. But each time you can see in the Bible that he actually chooses to honor God and to honor Potiphar. he was faithful to God and had faith that God would actually deliver him from that situation. And God ends up giving him strength and he does end up overcoming the temptation. But despite all of his faithfulness, Joseph ends up in prison because Potiphar's wife lies and falsely accuses him. So faith seeds so far that we can see in Joseph's life. He's betrayed by his brothers. He's been sold not once, but actually twice. He's falsely accused and then he's put in prison. I believe that all of these trials, and sometimes we can relate to Joseph because we look at our life and we see times when we go through a lot of issues. We go through different circumstances. We go through hardship. But I believe that God allows these trials in order to test our integrity for the plans that he has for us. See, the trials and the testing, they actually bring us to a place of maturity. And we need those trials in order to test the genuineness of our faith and to test that authenticity of our faith. The reason for that is because we need to actually have strong roots in God. Otherwise, that faith seed will actually die. See, the superficial faith that doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't take us far. It doesn't cut it. It doesn't give us those deep roots in God. I believe that God gives us the opportunities to water that faith seed. But it's up to us to accept that water or for us to either just let it, you know, be scorched by the sun. We actually have to make the choice to have faith and the choice to believe in God. See, Joseph had faith even though he was wrongly accused. And God was still with him and he maintained that relationship with God. And we know that because when he was in prison, he actually had a lot of favor. So in prison, the same sort of thing happens with Pharaoh. He, you know, becomes second in charge. He gets to look after, you know, a bunch of prisoners. Two of them actually end up being two workers that were from Pharaoh. So one of them was a baker and one of them was a cupbearer. And he has the opportunity then to interpret their dreams and he does so. And just before the cupbearer leaves, he says, "Can you please remember me?" And so cupbearer leaves, and unfortunately, cupbearer doesn't remember him. Yeah, completely forgets about him. How many of us have felt like we have been forgotten about? How many of us have felt like after all of our faithfulness, after resisting temptation, after relying on God, after having so much faith in God's plan, that we actually feel like God's forgotten about us? He's forgotten about our prayers. He's forgotten about our situation. He's forgotten about all of our struggles. I think that we should start to look at it differently and not say that God has forgotten about us, but think of it as being in God's timing. See, Galatians 6:9, if you want to turn there. So that's Galatians 6:9. It says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." See, for faith seeds, timing is a very, very crucial part. If you know how seeds work, you know that a seed needs to first germinate before it's planted into the ground. I'm not a gardener, but my parents are, so I'll just take that little knowledge from them. But they definitely need to germinate. And that's a very, very crucial step for a seed in order to be planted. There is actually such a thing as premature germination, and that causes a lot of issues for a plant. And if you look it up on the internet, it's a bit gross, but what happens is the seed starts sprouting before it's actually been released, and that way it's so weak that it doesn't have the chance to, you know, stand against wind or against sun, so it ends up dying. So I believe that even though Joseph may have felt like the cupbearer forgot about him, it wasn't in Joseph's timing, it was actually God's timing. And when we have moments of faith in our life, we need to know that God is taking us through seasons and through certain things for a reason. It's for a specific time. Amen? See, at that point in time for Joseph, his seed wasn't ready to germinate. And the question I want to ask is, how are you willing to wait for your seed to germinate? Because sometimes it might not take a week. It might not take a month. It might not even take a year. For Joseph, it took 2 years. And as the story goes, Joseph has the opportunity after 2 years to interpret Pharaoh's dream and warn Pharaoh about a famine that was going to spread throughout Egypt. And Joseph ends up becoming the second in charge. And, you know, the dream that he had when he was a teenager actually comes to pass. See, at that point in time, no one else could interpret the dream. the Bible says that Pharaoh spoke to wise men and magicians. That's what it says in the Bible. But none of them could interpret the dream. It was actually only Joseph. And Joseph at that point in time was still faithful to God. If you read in the Bible, it actually says that he constantly remembers God. He constantly says, this is not me, this is God. This is what God's telling you. This is not me, I'm not doing it in my strength. See, I believe that God doesn't need us to be pastors. God doesn't need us to be prophets. God doesn't need us to be wise men. He can use you in your situation. He can water that faith seed as long as you're faithful. The Bible says that you just need the size of a mustard seed. If you've seen a mustard seed, they're tiny. The faith the size of a mustard seed. And I believe that God is speaking to each one of us. He doesn't need you to have this incredible, amazing faith. He just needs you to have just a little bit. Amen? I believe that when we trust God in the small things, when we have earnest faith, it actually causes sort of ripple effects throughout our life. It causes those faith seeds to grow in ways that we can never imagine. And if you look at Joseph's timeline and all of the faith seeds that were in his timeline, you wouldn't have thought when he was in that situation about what was going to happen in front of him. You can only really see how God came through when you look at it from above, right? So when you look at it from God's perspective, because sometimes we can be on the train and we can see in front and we can see, you know, kind of behind us, but God sort of sees on top and he can see everything. So if we think about Joseph, we think he was second in charge over Egypt, but he couldn't have done that if he didn't interpret Pharaoh's dream. He couldn't have done that if he didn't interpret the cupbearer's dream. How would he have met the cupbearer if he wasn't in prison? How would he have gone into prison if he wasn't falsely accused? How would he have done that if he wasn't sold as a slave into Potiphar's house? And how would he have done that if his brothers didn't betray him? Does that make sense? Yeah? So I want us to understand that God wants us to grow in our thinking and grow in our faith thinking. See, retrospective thinking is when it's really easy because we look back and we say, you know, God, thank you because you've come through. Yep. But what I want us to start doing, and don't get me wrong, counting our blessings is very, very important. It's so important to wake up every morning and even thank God for the fact that we can walk, or thank God for the fact that we have a car. And you realize that, you know, if you have a car accident and you don't have a car, you realize all of those small things. And it's so important to count our blessings. But what I want to challenge you today is instead of that retrospective thinking about looking back and seeing how God has come through, start to have faith thinking. Start looking forward and having faith that God will come through. Amen? See, God allows us to go through these trials in order to test our faith. Because each time we get tested and we progress, we need a deeper faith in God. It's sort of like if you play video games, you'd know that you get to different levels. And if you sort of start at the first level, then you're all good because you build up. But if you start at the fifth level, there's all these things that you haven't learned yet. And you'll probably, you know, die a few times and that sort of thing if you play video games, right? But it's all about levels. It's all about progressing. And God is so magnificent that he sees that. And so he wants us to be prepared for the next round. He wants us to be prepared for the next round. He doesn't want us to go straight to round five and lose. He sets us up to win, not to fail. Amen? Amen. I believe that in order to have faith, you need to know that God has chosen you for a particular reason, for a particular purpose, for a particular season. You need to be able to trust God in what you're seeking. And that could be anything. That could be in your relationships. It could be healing. It could be forgiveness. It could be salvation for either a loved one or a friend. God's decisions in your faith walk, they might not meet your expectations. You know, what God does in your life or in that situation, it might not be what you're expecting. It might actually be a lot less than what you're expecting or something that you're not expecting at all. But we still need to be able to praise God and trust that he's powerful and trust that he actually wants the best for us. Remember, Hebrews says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. We need to be able to grow in our faith to the point where we trust him, not actually knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. Hebrews 11 speaks of people who have great faith, but it also talks about the trials that they faced. Some of them were tortured. Some of them were killed. Some of them were left destitute. Do you have faith that God will deliver you or give you strength to deal in those tough situations? Do you have faith that if you lost everything today, that God is going to provide for you tomorrow? One thing that I was talking to my husband about was that we recently got married and we moved into our house. And one thing that I really love doing is collecting furniture because I like old stuff. So I collect vintage and antiques and that sort of thing. But one thing I said to Joseph was that if I had to sell everything that I've collected, everything that, you know, I find beautiful tomorrow, would I do it? Would I just talk about it or say out that I would? But if God told me sell everything and move overseas and live in a small hut and, you know, maybe be killed, would I actually do that? Would I have faith in God to know that he's going to look after me, or would I just back out? The Bible says that without faith, you cannot please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what does that mean? That obviously means not seeking God just because he's going to, you know, give us a reward. But it actually means that we need to believe that he is who he says he is in his word. We need to know that he will answer the prayers that we pray when we seek him. See, having purposeful faith is knowing who God is in the scriptures. It's knowing the God that we serve. And it's knowing that our faith is not swayed by how we feel, but it's actually based on the pure trust of God and what God says about that particular situation in his word. Faith is actually about surrendering. And sometimes it's very, very hard to surrender our plans and trust God that he will lead us in the best way possible. But the reality is, and the Bible says this, his plans for our life, his plans for your life actually far outweigh the plans that you could ever think of. The dreams that you could ever have, his plans for you completely outweigh that. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding," or "do not depend on your own understanding. In all ways seek him and he will make your path straight." See, we can be stuck in a situation. We can be unsure about what will happen and unsure about how we'll get through. But maybe God has allowed you to be in that situation until you are actually ready to be where he's called you to be. Remember, I said faith is actually a choice. You're not forced to have faith. Faith is a daily choice that you have to make. We have to choose to rely on God and to trust in God through the good and the bad. We have to have faith to surrender our life to him, to choose to rely on him, to rely on his word, to have his word in our heart, and to rely on his daily bread. Will you still have faith in God if it didn't look like you wanted it to? Will you still have faith in God if after years you've been praying for something and it still hasn't come through? Will you still have faith in God when you have been constantly trialed and tested and you just can't see any fruit from that situation? Some of you may know my testimony from my mum or sort of my early life, but I did want to share that with you today. So very quickly, when my mum was pregnant with me, there were a lot of complications in her birth, and she experienced a lot of attacks from the enemy. It ended up being a very high-risk pregnancy that could have, and I don't just say this, but could have actually led to death for my mum and for myself. My mum often says that when she actually gave birth, she was unconscious. Like, she couldn't see anything. We didn't have that moment that mothers have when they can hold their baby and look into the baby's eyes. We didn't have that. During my mum's pregnancy with me, the doctors actually told them that I would have Down syndrome. So for those of you who don't know what Down syndrome is, it's actually a lifelong disability of developmental and intellectual delays. And they told my parents, you know, you should consider termination, like, because the baby's probably going to have Down syndrome. It is a big responsibility. And my parents had already had my brother as well. So thinking about it like that, that's what you might do, right? But my parents, and I'm very, very grateful for this, but my parents prayed. And they not only prayed, they asked others to pray as well. So even though I was born 7 weeks early, the prayers of my parents and others came through. Yeah, God answered those prayers. And I believe that that was my first faith seed. I didn't have the capacity to pray for myself. I didn't have the capacity to ask God for life. I was way too young. But I believe that that actually set a precedence for my life, because my life now is built on faith. Every day that I walk is built on faith, because every day that I walk and every birthday that I have, it's actually a reminder that God had come through, because I would not have been able to have that birthday if God didn't come through. Does that make sense? So being a pastor's kid on both sides, both my parents are pastors, and for pastor's kids in the room, even though, you know, you have your parents to pray for you when you have your exams or to pray for you when you need healing, and it's really great because, you know, if I have a question, I just ask my dad. But the one thing that doesn't really matter is the fact that we still go through the same things that everyone else goes through. We still go through hardship. Doesn't matter if our parents are pastors or not. I still went through struggling with my identity. I still went through struggling with my self-esteem. I still experienced very, very deep depression and very deep anxiety. For those of you who don't know, depression is sort of when you worry about the past, and anxiety is sort of when you worry about the future. So either way, I was just always worrying. I was worrying about yesterday. I was worrying about today. I was worrying about tomorrow. A few years ago, there was a particular season of my life where it was sort of like a period of 3 months. And I never knew that someone could lose weight that quickly. I never knew that someone could, you know, cry themselves to sleep every night, to experience panic attacks and to feel the room closing in, or to feel such loneliness. I never knew that I could be in a place where I would actually think about suicide and where I would actually attempt to commit suicide. I never thought that that would be what my life would have looked like. But at that point in time, even though I was going through all those things, I needed to have faith at that point in time that no matter what was happening now, that God was going to get me through, that God was going to give me enough strength to go through one more day. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because obviously when you're experiencing depression and anxiety, when you feel like there is no way out, and when you feel like there is no one who understands what you're going through, for you to say to God, all right, whatever happens now, I will deal with it. But as long as you're with me, Lord, I'm going to be okay. And that was a really, really big step that I had to make. And I believe that because I made that step, because I chose at that point in time to have faith, I ended up marrying Joseph. And that is a testimony in itself. So I know I've been asking a lot of questions, but one of the other questions I wanted to ask you today was, what are your faith seeds? What trials in your life right now, or what situations are you going through that need deep faith in order for God to intervene? Maybe it's parenting. Maybe you want to improve your relationship with your parents, or you have issues with your child's behavior or the path that they're taking. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe you want to find, or you want to have close friendships. Maybe it's you wanting friendships to be restored. Maybe it's fixing your marriage. Maybe it's finding a spouse. Maybe it's asking God, what's my purpose? What's my calling? Why am I even here? What do you want me to do? Maybe it's starting a family. Maybe you're struggling with your identity, with your mental health. Maybe even it's just your finances. I want to encourage you today. The Bible says so much about how God has, or how God will come through for us in those tough times. It says, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It says, do not worry about your life. Do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The Bible says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, God's plans for you are to prosper you and not to harm you. They're plans to give you hope and a future. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. And the faith journey for me doesn't stop there. Of course it doesn't. Currently, I a few years ago, I remember sitting in the doctor's office and I had all these tests done, and then she says, yep, so you've got this particular medical condition. And I say, okay, cool. And she says, yeah, so you're not going to be able to have children. And I was like, yep, that's pretty cool. And I still have that medical condition. I don't call it a medical condition. It's only because when I was getting a checkup, they said, yeah, that's actually a medical condition. You have to tell people that you have that. And I said, oh, okay. See, that I have a lot of issues health-wise. And a lot of it affects my confidence. Like I said, the doctor said I would be infertile. I wouldn't be able to have children. But I now am going through the faith journey of knowing that God is going to heal me, and that knowing that I have a purpose in God, because I can't stand here and be confident and not have faith in God. Does that make sense? Yeah? I can't stand here and say that I have faith and encourage you to have faith if I am not having faith right now. And that's why I stand here and I say that God loves you so much, and all he needs is just a little bit of faith. All he needs is for you to allow him to work in your life. Because that's what faith is, right? Faith is giving God permission for his way to come into your life. So how do we water our faith seeds? How do we get this growing? What do we do? First thing I believe is perspective, right? We need to have faith, and we need to have perspective, knowing that God has placed us where we are, even if it doesn't seem right, even if it seems so contradictory, it just doesn't seem right. It's actually placed us, he has placed us in a place according to his plans. We could be in the pit. We could be facing temptation. We could be in prison. We need to know that God has us in the season for a particular purpose, and that there is a bigger outcome that he's building us up for. We need to allow God to grow us, to strengthen us. And in that, our faith seeds will get deeper roots. We also need to have patience. And patience is very, very difficult, because like Joseph, you could be waiting for 2 years in prison. Like many of us, we could be waiting for a very, very long time, and we could be so tired of trusting God, because growing is tough, and to grow, it gets a bit painful. But I know it's easier said than done, but just to be patient through that time and know that God is working, and that his timing is far better than our timing. Yeah, growing is hard. Growing is very hard. And growing in faith is very, very difficult, and it does test you, because you could say today, Lord, I want to grow in faith, but God may take that literally, and you could start growing in faith by the moment you walk out. You could start growing in faith by tomorrow. He could be giving you those opportunities. Yes. Amen? The one thing that I want to encourage you is that your faith, it needs to triumph over your fear. It needs to replace your worry. It needs to replace your anxiety. It needs to replace your disappointment, your unmet expectations, your unanswered prayers. It needs to replace all of that. Sometimes we need to have faith in the quiet. God may keep you in the quiet in order to strengthen you and deepen your roots, until you're ready and prepared for the plan that God has for you. We need to rely and know that God has got the best for us. God is never going to forget us. Even though we may be going through things that are purposely going to grow our faith, even though we're going through trying times, we need to know that God never forgets us. He has us at the forefront of his mind all the time. imagine at the end of your life, you're in sort of like a garden, and you're walking through and you see all these, you know, you see these plants, you see these trees. Imagine that each tree represents one tiny seed that was grown because of your faith. At the end of your life, do you want to walk through a garden where there's all of these luscious trees that almost looks like a forest? You're like trying to find your way and you need like a massive bush knife to like cut the trees down because there's so many? Or do you think that you're going to be walking through and it's just going to be barren? See, I want to ask today, how much are you willing for your faith to grow? How much do you want God to grow your faith? What extent are you willing to go through in order for that to happen? And what about this year? What does this year hold for you and your journey? How are you going to pursue growing your faith in God? I feel like sometimes we feel like we're just stuck in the rain and there's just rain pouring down and we've got no shelter and, you know, we're just sitting there and we're cold. But what if God has allowed that rain to water those seeds that need growing? Amen. Worship team, you can come up. Faith is very, very hard. It's hard to have faith when you have had faith before and you feel like that faith hasn't come through. But that faith is sort of like a fertilizer, you know what I mean? Like it just because you don't see it happening now, it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen in the future. So I want to encourage you this morning. Growing is very, very hard, like I said. And it's not, this journey of faith is not easy. We know people who have incredible faith that live overseas that are getting persecuted, who are being killed for what they believe in. Missionaries who have gone from living, you know, really comfortable lives to now having to literally ask God for daily bread because they are living day by day. That might not be the life that God has probably called you to live, but we can all take from their faith. See, the thing is, God loves you so much. God loves you so, so much. And He has this amazing plan and purpose for your life that He wants to outwork in your life. But we need to have faith in order for Him to work. We need to know that He has our best interests at heart. The way that I look at the Bible is it's sort of just this very long love story. It starts off where we are with God and we're just having the time of our lives. And then sin comes and steals us away. And the whole Bible is just one big story about how God is fighting for us and how God has done so much just to get us back. And the thing is, He does have us back. He wins in the end, right? But we still need to make the choice. So today, as we go into worship, I want to encourage you to come down to the front, because when you come down to the front, it's not, you know, so that the worship team sees that there are many people here. It's not about that at all. It's actually showing God that you are willing to step out of your comfort. You're willing to step out of everything that's holding you down in order to walk up to God and say, God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I just want You to use me. I just want You to touch me right now, Lord God. I don't know why I'm going through this, Lord Jesus. I don't know what Your plans are, Lord God. I don't know what is going to happen, Lord. But all I know, Lord God, is that today I'm going to choose to have faith in You. I'm going to choose to know that You are looking after me. I'm going to choose to know, Lord God, that You have put these dreams on my heart that are one day going to come into fruition, and that Your timing is going to be far better than my timing, Lord. So I choose to trust You. I want to encourage you, step out of your seat, and when we worship, come down to the front. Come down to the front if you need a faith boost, you know, if you just need a bit of fertilizer to water that faith. Come down if you need to repent, because this whole time you've been trying to do things yourself and things are just not going well. And you just need God. You just need to surrender to God. You need to say, God, I'm sorry. But right now, Lord, I'm giving everything to You. Come down to the front if you just want to surrender that situation. come down to the front if you want God to help you grow your faith. See, be honest with God. Tell him what's stopping you from having that unwavering faith. Tell him, is it fear? Is it worry? Is it anxiety? Is it disappointment? Is it all of those unmet expectations, all of those unmet prayers, all of those things? What is it? Be honest with God. Because only when you can be honest with God and honest about where you're at, that's when God can come through. Amen? So I want to encourage you, church, just worship. Be honest with God. Because God wants us to grow and he wants us to flourish. The only way that we can do that is by having faith. Amen? Amen. Come on, church, why don't we stand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
We live.